I'm hands together. I'm glad I know the name of Jesus, amen. I'm glad I know who Jesus is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for being with us. You may be seated. What a wonderful crowd here. You know, we'll have Brother Tyler Stevenson be with us this morning. And Brother Tyler, you're preaching to a church full of saints today because you know they're saints when they show up and the pastor's not here. Amen. So a couple announcements, and they're desperate for good help up here. This is my second time in 2 weeks. So anyway, we have a service tonight at 6 p.m. I want to remind you about that. And then we have one service next week due to the 4th of July holiday. So keep that in mind. One service next week will be at 10 a.m., and that's because of the 4th of July holiday. And then another quick reminder is Brother Ashton over here on our keys and Sister Lauren over here, they will be joining vows in a wedding July the 11th at 2 p.m. We want to make sure you know about that. So give them a round of applause. And then a couple more announcements as our ushers come forward is keep Mr. Bill Dowers, his mom, in prayer. And then after offering at this time, the junior high class can be dismissed. Senior high stays here. Junior high can be dismissed. We do offering a little bit different. We don't want anyone touching the bag. So this section, the far end sections, will come up first, followed by the next section, then the center section will come up last, and then we'll bring a basket up to the balcony for you guys up there. So thank you for being with us. Right after offering, Brother Tyler Stevenson will come to the platform. He needs no introduction. He knows his way around this church, knows his way around De Quincy. We're happy to have him. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. God bless you as you give.
Of praise. Let the house of the Lord be filled with a thunderous hand clap unto the God of our salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to De Quincy, to the house of the Lord. Are you happy to be in the house of God this morning? Did you come expecting God to do something? Thank you, brother. Did you come expecting God to do something? Now, y'all gonna make me work this morning. Come on, somebody. I came believing somebody's gonna get a miracle. Somebody's gonna get the Holy Ghost. If you didn't come expecting something, you could have stayed home. Amen. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. It's hard to believe it's been right at a year since I've been here. There's a few places I'll go other than Wallace Ridge. And Brother Nealon, I committed to him earlier this year. I said, he asked if I'd cover two Sunday mornings. Because we didn't have church on Sunday mornings. We had 5 p.m. Sunday school, 6 p.m. church. And I said, yeah, I'll cover both Sunday mornings. And I decided to change services back to 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. So I said, I can only cover one Sunday morning. So I'm happy to be here in the house of the Lord with this great church. God has used this church mightily in my family's life and in my life and in my ministry. And holds a special place in my heart today. I give high honor to your pastor and his family. Don't you love your pastor? Love Brother and Sister Nealon. Amen. God put them in our lives at just the right time. And whether you know it or not, Brother Nealon is mightily, mightily used in the prophetic. He does it in such an elegant way and an eloquent way that he's not showy with it, but if Brother Nealon says, thus saith the Lord, my ears perk up, and I have full confidence in your pastor. Amen. Good to have Brother Zach Davis with me this morning. He's a great young man out of our church, and I wanted him to come in contact with this great church because I know that you'll bless his life just like you bless my life. Amen. Turn with me to the word of the Lord this morning as we go to the book of Psalm chapter 62. We're going to begin reading with verse number 1. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. I want to draw your attention back to verse 5, for it's from this verse that I will launch this morning. The psalmist is speaking to his soul. This is what he's saying. He's saying, my soul, wait thou only upon God. He's giving himself a pep talk. Sometimes you got to do that if you're going to live for God. He said, soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I want to preach this morning the restoration of expectation. The restoration. I believe this morning God wants to restore the expectation of some people in this place that the enemy has chiseled away at it and it's in ruins. But by the time you walk out of here today, you got to believe with me that God is still on the throne. And God is not a man that he should lie. neither is he the son of man that he should repent. But God is going to make a way when there is no way. If you believe it, I want you to lift your hands to heaven right now. Father, upon the authority of your word and by the power of the name Jesus, I pray, God, over the next few moments that you would rebuild and restore the expectation in people's hearts towards you and towards what you can do in their life. God, I bind doubt and unbelief in the name of Jesus, and I pray your miracle working power would be loosed in this place in Jesus' name. If you believe it, clap your hands unto the Lord in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated this morning. Restoration of expectation. If you study out what it takes to live for God in the New Testament church, that's what we are a part of. The fundamental element in living for God is faith. In fact, if you do a word study, you'll only find the word faith mentioned two times in the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament was not established upon faith, it was established upon obedience. It was ritualistic in nature. It was void of relationship because that relationship was marred by sin. Thus God began the process to restore relationship. But relationship did not come into being until Jesus Christ gave his life and sent forth the Holy Ghost. This is what he said. He said, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he can't come. The only way that you can get relationship back is you've got to get the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Almighty God, is that same Spirit that communed with Adam and Eve in the garden. And when sin came in the picture, that relationship or that Spirit of God led. That's why death was introduced. Death is not of God. Death is the result of sin. Death is not to the plan of God, but thus God put a plan in place. And so he said, this is what it takes to have relationship. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, if you do a word study, you'll find that the word sound in the Greek is the word phoné, P-H-O-N-E. It's translated in the English the word phonics or language. So what God was saying is when the Comforter comes, when the Spirit of God comes, when the Holy Ghost comes into your heart, everybody's going to know it because there's going to be a sound or there's going to be a language that comes out of your mouth. What happened on the day of Pentecost? They said, how hear we every man in our own language? I want somebody to know today, if you can believe that God will fill you with the Holy Ghost, you don't have to walk out of this place the same way, but you can be born of the water and of the Spirit. I believe I'm in a Pentecostal church this morning that still preaches Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That trip to an altar is motivated by one thing, and that's faith. The reason someone gets out of that pew and here's the word of God, because we're begotten by the word. The word is the seed from which a new man is conceived. You got to have the word. I love great singing. I love beautiful buildings. But you can have all of that, and if you don't have the word, you don't have anything. It takes the word to be saved. But when you hear that word and you hear the man of God tell you that God can give you a new start and that God can fill you with his spirit and you can be a changed person, something is activated in your spirit. It's activated by faith. And faith is what motivates a person to get out of a pew, walk down the aisle, and lift their hands and begin to pray. You pray into something you can't see. You pray into something that's not tangible, that you cannot touch it. But your faith tells you that if the word says it, I believe it, and it's gonna happen. I know that sounds elementary, but what we need to comprehend today is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God did it once in your life, then why would you doubt that God does it twice in your life? I heard a story by Brother Jack Cunningham, who is a mightily used of God. He's the nephew of Brother Billy Cole. When he was a young man, they were preaching in Thailand. And there was, they had chairs lined up. I believe it was Thailand. They had chairs lined up. And they had 50 chairs. And 50 people would sit in them. And they'd pray for them. They'd pray that God would give them the Holy Ghost. Then when they got the Holy Ghost, they'd move them out, put another set in. That's how they kept records of how many people got the Holy Ghost. And there was a man there that he was the record keeper. He had a little notebook and he kept tally of everybody that prayed and everybody that got the Holy Ghost. And so Brother Cunningham said, I turned around to this brother and I told him that there's 50 praying for the Holy Ghost that just sat down. And he wrote, 50 received the Holy Ghost. And he said, brother, we hadn't even prayed yet. He said, I just told you there's 50 that's in the seats. And in his broken English, this is what he said. 50 pray, 50 get. It's as simple as that. That's expecting God to do what he promised in his word he would do. My friend, when somebody walks down here and prays for the Holy Ghost, I'm more shocked when they don't get it because I believe that God will honor his word. You need to believe with me this morning. I don't care how many times you prayed. I don't care what it looks like. God will honor his word. So it takes faith. Somebody shout faith. Faith. But here's where we're getting mixed up. There's an old song, and I'm not a singer, so I'm going to quote it, okay? It said, faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot, just use what you got. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. And so we have developed a mindset that we have faith instead of faith in God. We don't need more faith in our life. We need more God in our life. So we start seeking faith. And that's not what the book says. You don't see, either you got it or you don't have it. You just got to believe that God will honor his word. See, the Bible talks about different types of faith. It said it's given unto every man a measure of faith. So you got it, whether you activate it or believe it or not, you have it. There's a measure. Then Jesus, there's many times he talked about, oh, ye of little faith. There was a time he said, you've got great faith. Then he said, where is your faith? But there's dimensions of faith because the Bible says therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It's like climbing those stairs over there. As you grow in God, you grow in dimensions of faith and you believe. And so what happens is this. I believe the greatest element of faith is childlike faith, which when they say it, they expect it to happen. I got four girls, okay? I know what it's like. Still, my girls now are 15, 12, 8, and 4. And if you don't have anything to pray for, you just pray for me. We're getting in this thing where they start liking boys. And I told my daughter when she was 12 that she could date when she's 15. Because in my mind, that was like eons away. Until she's like, Dad, I turn 15 next month. I'm like, hold up. Time out here. I got to reconsider what I told you about this dating business. But a child, this is how they operate. They don't know the cost of anything. I'm talking about children. They don't know if this cost $1 or $1,000. All they know is, I want it, and I'm just going to ask my daddy. Whoever invented checkout lanes at Walmart and all, they used to be candy. Now it's like $20 things lined up everywhere. Must have hated parents because it makes life miserable, them kids just touching everything. And so God began to deal with me one day when I told my daughter, she went to come to me and she goes, Daddy, can I have? And then she goes, no, never mind, Daddy, it's too much. And she probably was too much. It was probably going to be a no anyway, but she called herself and saved me from having to say no. And the Lord quickened my spirit. He said, my children do that to me all the time. I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, they go to ask in faith, and then they realize how big it is, and so they start backing away from what they were going to ask. But you realize there's nothing bigger than God. Everything is smaller than God. It doesn't matter how impossible it looks in our mind. You can't gauge whether or not God will do it by whether or not you can comprehend it. You just got to ask and believe that God told me in his word that he will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I've come to tell someone this morning, God wants to restore your expectation in him today. My expectation is not of man. It's of God. It's of God. You see, there's believing. But people believe that he can, they just don't believe that he will. You can believe in the ability of God, but not believe in the willingness of God. And you can fool yourself into thinking, well, I've got faith. I've got faith. Yeah, you believe he can, but you just don't believe that he will. God doesn't want you just to believe in his ability. He wants you to believe in his willingness. He wants you to believe that he will honor his word. Then there's a dimension of trust, which is where we have to reside many times when we don't understand what's going on. God never asked us to understand him. He asked us to trust him. You cannot trust what you understand because then you would process it through human logic. But trust has to kick in when you don't understand. That's why it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. Because if you lean to your own understanding, you wouldn't have to trust him. But when you have more questions than you have answers, your heart needs to take comfort in the fact that God has all of the answers, that God knew your end from your beginning, and there's never a chapter that you'll go through that God is not with you. I'm here to tell someone today, if you can just restore your expectation in God, man will fail you. Church people will hurt you. Somebody, I'll say amen, amen. I've been hurt more by church people than worldly people. I mean, I've come to church and said, I got to pray on the other side of the church. I know it may not happen in De Quincy. It has happened before. But God will never fail you. God will never fail you. You can trust God. If you base your expectation on man, then it's fragile and it's flawed. But this is what the psalmist said. My expectation is of him. Because he's the only wise God. He's the only perfect king. He's the only one that can solve all things. My faith, my expectation is of God. I'm here to tell you today, friend, I prayed with people. One time I was working the altar, and I was praying for somebody. I got somebody about right here. And I mean, I was pumped up. I said, all right, man, do you believe that when I lay my hands on you after we repent and we begin to pray and worship God, that God is going to fill you with his spirit and you'll speak in another language? And he said, no. Lord bless you. I'd have prayed all day waiting and believing for somebody that didn't expect it to happen.
My friend, if you want the Holy Ghost, the first step to getting the Holy Ghost is believing and expecting that when I worship God and I lift up His name, that He is going to fill me with His Spirit. If you need a miracle from God, you got to see it happening before it happens. That's what faith is, calling those things that are not as though they are. And if you can see it right here, you'll see it out here. You got to see it first. One day I was praying, and I was just telling God everything that was wrong. We complain and call it praying is what we do. And I was just telling God everything that was wrong. I could take you to the spot I was standing. I mean, God, this. And we talk to God like God doesn't know nothing. And we tell Him how it all should be based upon what we think. And we're so wrong. God just loves us anyway. And this is back before this became a popular quote. I saw this on a thing at Kirkland's or something. I should have trademarked it, but I didn't. I was praying, and just as clear as if somebody was standing right there and spoke to me, God stopped me dead in my tracks. This after a while of me belly aching and complaining. And God just spoke. He said, Tyler, why don't you stop telling me how big your problems are and start telling your problems how big your God is? And I stopped right there, and I changed the way I was praying, and I started telling my problems that God is bigger than you, that God can fix you, that God can turn you around, that God has more power. See, what are you doing? You're doing what the psalmist said. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I'm getting my perception of God bigger in my circumstance. I want you to stand to your feet right now and begin to magnify the Lord. I believe we ought to take a moment right now and just get our eyes on Him. Get our expectation upon Him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be seated. I'm almost done. Last year, God began to move upon me at our home church. In Job 22:28, this is what it says. Brother, if you can put it up there, Job 22:28. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and thy light shall shine upon thy way. This is what Scripture says. It says you got power in the spoken word. You can decree a thing. You can speak it by faith, and things have to come to pass. Do you realize that our words are like frisbees? When we release our word, because we're flawed and because we cannot bring everything to pass, our word goes out in the open and it just kind of flutters around and it drops. But this is what the word of God says. He said, my word shall not return unto me void. But when it comes back to me, it will accomplish that which it was sent forth to do. God's word is like a boomerang. When it is released, it may be tomorrow, it may be next week or next year, but He said, my word will come back to me. And when it comes back, it will have accomplished everything I said it would do. See, your words will fail, but this word right here, if you just start praying that word and speaking that word, it has authority in your life. So this is what I did. I told the church. We got a lot of guys in the oil field, a lot of men in the oil field. That's about the main industry up there. And if you've been following, the oil field's just not doing too good right now. And it's last summer sometime, maybe in the fall, I can't remember exactly when it was, God began to move upon me about praying over our offering. And I'd heard a prayer one day when I was traveling somewhere, and I called that pastor. I said, send me that prayer. And I kind of tweaked it to fit our church and what I felt what God wanted for our church. And we began to pray. And it says, upon the authority of your word, I have given and it shall be given to me. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I am a tither. I bring my tithe today into your storehouse. Therefore, the enemy is rebuked and the curse is broken. I live under an open heaven. Pour out upon me such a blessing, there's not enough room to receive it. We receive jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, sales and commission, interest interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off, debts demolished, and royalties received. My whole family will be saved and walking with God. Perfect health and abundance to walk in divine favor and blessing. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. All that I do will prosper in Jesus' name. And we begin to pray that prayer. What are you doing? You're decreeing a thing in the spirit world. Oh, I had a little kickback, if you can imagine, church people. This is vain repetition. Well, if you study out that scripture, vain repetition means taking up a whole bunch of time saying the same thing over and over, trying to look holy in front of everybody else. That's like going to pray an hour and saying hallelujah the whole hour. You didn't do nothing. That's vain repetition. Praying a prayer, I mean, the whole book of Psalms is prayers, my goodness. So we just kept, I said, look, if you're not comfortable praying it, don't pray it. Nobody holding a gun to your head trying to pray this. But if you want to pray it, pray it. So here's what happened. We started praying it, believing that every time we pray it, God's honoring it. God's honoring it. And it wasn't just a few days. I had a man in the church. He texted me, I believe he texted me. I had so many texts, I've lost track. He had a hospital bill. He was in the hospital several days. And he paid some money down, but he still owed like over $15,000. And a few days after we started praying that prayer, he got a letter in the mail or a phone call, I can't remember. They said, sir, everything that you owe has been canceled and we're sending you back the money that you already put down. Debts demolished. That's one of those in that prayer. And people started praying it. And the more we prayed it, the more we begin to expect. I've lost track. I can tell you of a man that he's a farmer. He had over 22 years of debt piling up from bad crops. And it just kept piling and piling and piling and piling. And he tried every kind of program and nothing would work out. And he was standing in a place of business and somebody walked up to him and said, hey, did you try this? She worked for this particular company. He said, oh, I tried that. He said, we were turned down. We couldn't do it. And she said, let me go check on it. A few minutes later, she called him. Now, 22 years of debt that had kept piling up, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And she called him. She said, are you sitting down? He said, I am. I'm driving. She said, well, they changed all of the rules and the requirements. And all of that money that you owe, we're wiping it out. And you don't have to pay a penny of it back. Debts to mom. I'm telling you, you got to begin to expect. I'm preaching to somebody. You've been praying for a financial miracle. God is over your finances. If you can begin to believe it. Let me tell you what, I got all kinds of stories. There was a man in our church last year. I was eating at a restaurant and got a text from Brother Zach or a phone call. Brother Zach works as a lineman. And the guy that he worked with, they had been working for days doing power outage type stuff, with trees down and all this kind of stuff. The guy that he was working with went up in the bucket, forgot it was live, and grabbed both wires, and 14,000 volts went through his body. It was just the grace of God that he was alive. He passed out in the bucket, threw his arm up, and brought the bucket down. And they hauled him to an ambulance. They were in the woods. They hauled him to an ambulance. Ambulance took him to Alexandria Hospital. I met him over there. Body all burned up. And insides they were worried about damaged. And hands all burned up from where he grabbed that live wire. People die lesser voltage than that. And it was the hand of God that was upon his life. And goes through all of these surgeries and all of these skin grafts and all of this, everything associated with that. But God was with him every step of the way. God was with him every step of the way. And he's in church probably today. And if he walked in that door right there, you wouldn't even know that anything happened to him. Because God is a God that watches over his children. You got to believe with me, if God can save a man from 14,000 volts going through his body, then your situation isn't too hard for God. But watch this. Watch this. In fact, when was it? Yesterday or today? It was a year ago. I think it was this weekend. It was a year ago that it happened. Naturally, with all of that out of work and all this kind of stuff, your bills start piling up over time. And they had been doing their very best to keep everything juggled and paid, and they're great people, some of the greatest people on the face of the earth. And she sent us a text a few months ago She'd been trying to juggle everything and been praying for days and days and probably weeks that God would help them out financially, and they just needed some help. She said it was 7 something in the morning. She said, I was sitting there at my table, and she said mail had been stacking up on my table. I called her, I texted her this morning. I said, can I share this? She said, absolutely, it's going to help somebody. And she said, I'd been praying that God would help us and help us and help us. And she said, something just said, check the mail. She said, so I started going through this mail, opening up this mail that had been sitting on my table for days piling up. You know how it is when bills are the most common thing, you just don't like checking the mail. And so she was checking it, and all of a sudden she opened an envelope. And she said there was a check for $22,000 in that mail. And her heart dropped. And she called the workman's comp, and she said, it was from workman's comp. And she said, what is this? Is this our money? She said, oh yeah, that's a one-time payment for all the permanent scarring on his hands. And she said, the whole time I've been praying for this, the mail, the check had been sitting in the mail on the table the whole time. And God spoke to my heart and said, how many times are we begging and pleading? And the answer's already there. We just got to believe that God is going to do it. I want somebody to know with me this morning that your check is in the mail. Your answer is on the way. God knows where you're at. If you can just believe, stand with me this morning. I want everybody, lift your hands right now, and I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to believe that God is going to take care of your situation. That God is going to take care of your situation. I bind doubt in the name of Jesus. I bind unbelief in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, I just want you to pray for a minute. Some of you elders that know how to pray and know how to tap in the Spirit, I want you to get a hold of God with me this morning. In the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter what it is. If you can believe with me this morning that God is going to take care of it. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Six, I want you to walk with me. Amen. When I walked in here this morning and I looked over across the congregation, when I looked at you, I saw you walking through quicksand. And it looked like every step that you took, it was getting harder and harder just to keep going. And I don't know what you're going through, but the Lord told me just to take a walk with you this morning. Because by the help of God, you're walking out of this thing. You're not going to walk out of your own power, but by the authority of the Word of God, every step we take this morning, you're getting confidence. And your confidence is not in God, but your confidence is in, or rather it's not in you, but it's in God. In the name of Jesus, I want some of you ladies to come walk with her this morning. I want just a few ladies to come grab her by the hand. In the name of Jesus, come on, sis. I want some ladies to come walk with her. God, she's coming out of this. She's coming out of this. Not by what she can do, but by the power of the name Jesus. I want you to stretch your hands to where God's going to fill it with the Holy Ghost right here. Church, I want you to pray right now. In the name.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Our God.
something from God and you believe it, I want you to step out of your pew right now and make your way to the front of this altar and lift your hands up all over the building. If you believe that God can do it, it no matter what it is, I want you to come on up here right now. I would come running right now. I would come running right now. If you need the Holy Ghost, God is here to fill you with His Spirit. God is here to fill you with His Spirit. Come on, lift your hands to heaven right now. God knows where you're at. God knows where you're at. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Kalabada Basata Yala Bahana. Come on, God's able. God's able. God's able. Yokoye Baba Basata Yala Bahaya.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger.
begin to pray for. Just put your hand on somebody, put it on their shoulder. Your husband or wife, just begin to pray. Lift your hands to heaven this morning. Lift your hands to heaven this morning. I want you to say this with me. God, I expect you to do it. God, I expect you to do it. What are you doing? You're magnifying God in your life. When you wake up tomorrow, let that be in your mind. God, whatever I've been praying for, I expect it to happen in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, I want you to come up here if you can. I've been watching you the whole service. I love you. Amen. Come over here, sweetie. Y'all got a funeral. I mean, a wedding coming up, huh? Amen. I'm going to just tell you what I saw in the Holy Ghost, okay? She's a part of it. She's a package deal, okay? It's the worst investment. You sign off half everything you own. But that's okay. God ordained it like that. I'm just picking, okay? I'm going to tell you what I saw when I watched you. I watched you the whole service. I saw you sitting on a launching pad. It was like a, I don't know how to describe everything I see, but it was like what they just a big old spring underneath and it was going to launch it. And it's like I watched you through the years and little door, a little bit bigger door, a little bit bigger door. But when you were sitting on this launching pad, God says everything that he's put inside of you, he's fixing to launch you to a realm of influence in the music industry, in the Pentecostal world. But watch this. The door, when you launched, I saw two big old doors fly open. But if you ever start thinking that it's you instead of God, God's going to pull you down, straight back down. So everything that God's put, the reason he put it in you is because you got a humble spirit and you're not putting confidence in you. You're putting confidence in God. And God's going to use you in a greater, everything you prayed for in private, God says, I'm going to open it in the public in the name of Jesus. Pray with me right now. Pray with me right now. I kalabole mala masia taye. Ye bayanda da ria da la boko ye baba haye da la boho. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost just for a minute. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just let God flow through you right now. If you gotta go, you can go. But I'm telling you, God's working in this place this morning. Pray in the Spirit right now. Some of you, you need to get all those cares of the world. You need to get it out of you right now. All of that worry and fear and anxiety, you got to get it out of you right now because God is working for you. I want them to sing it again as we worship the Lord this morning. I want your expectation to be restored in Him. In the name of Jesus, restore my expectation, God. Come on, God is greater. He's greater than your problems. He's greater than your disease. He's greater than your financial difficulty. He's greater than your sickness. He's greater than your marriage problems. God is greater than all of that this morning. I expect God to do it. I expect God to do it. I expect God to do it. Yes, God. God, you're higher than any other. He's awesome in power.
good at your mercy, enduring forever.